Well, let's open the Word of God together today and see what we need to look at, perhaps to consider letting God work in our heart in a wonderful, wonderful way. In Exodus 6 is where we're going this morning. Old Testament, Exodus 6. Just helps us inspire, be inspired. I was, we pray a lot of prayers sometimes, don't we, as people? We pray and we pray and pray. And then there's a time, I believe, when God answers our prayer, and sometimes we've forgotten to connect. That's a prayer we actually prayed once that God is actually answering. And so 4 o'clock the other morning, I was minding my own business, and the Lord sort of woke me up. And what's that old joke? And it says, the biggest lie I tell myself is I'll remember that in the morning. And you tend not to. So I'm not going to fall into that trap. I thought I'll get up and I'll write that thought down. But as I did, the Lord just really downloaded a whole lot of things to my heart that are appropriate and I believe for today. So if you've got a pen and paper, it might even help you there to take some notes to give you some sort of instruction. I want to talk today about everything that God does. He does according to a pattern based upon a principle. And oftentimes, if you can discover the pattern of God for your life and base it upon a principle or a promise of God, there your life actually is. And so I want to look at that today in such a real way. In Exodus 6, it talks about the time when the Israelites are there and they're in slavery. I think it was around 600 years or so. They're in slavery to the Egyptians, and it was a really big, you know, history time when you consider generations, generation after generation after generation would be in a situation where, you know, what are you doing today? Whatever the Pharaoh tells us to do, whatever we're told to do, that's what we'll be doing. What are your kids going to be doing? They'll be doing the same. What are your grandkids? They'll be doing the same. And generation after generation, year after year, day after day, you know, these people were basically, not basically slaves. They were slaves, but they really just were ground down. If anyone wasn't working, they were killed and things like that. So it became, you know, that I don't know if you could ever imagine what that would be like, but just shifting rocks for your whole life. Maybe, what are you gonna do for the next 20 years? I'm just shifting rocks. And the strain, the hand, work of your hands and so on and so forth would just wear down. And just to set a background to this story, and so God sees this time, and it's time for them to come out of their slavery into the promised land. And it says that the Lord said in verse 1 of chapter 6, the Lord said to Moses, Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, Lord, I was known by the Lord, I was known to them. And I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, which is the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. I have observed the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I remembered my covenant. Therefore, I say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with a great judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out of under Egypt and the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to you Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage, for I am the Lord. It's a very powerful time in history if you can put yourself in the middle of that moment. The Lord was reminding me that this is a pattern that I can see that we as believers need to get involved with to be able to own if we want to, and then base it upon a principle that may be one that's refreshed or revealed to us, so we can actually have somewhere to put our feet so we continue to move forward, because it's impossible for God to do nothing. And as you hear often of people, well, did you hear this is happening? Coronavirus, this is that's doing that, that's doing that, and there's people dying here and stuff like that. There's many believers today who are more informed about what the world is doing and what's happening in the world than what God is actually doing in their hearts and in their lives and wanting to do. And we must be people who are able ourselves to be able to know what God's doing, get involved with what God's doing more than the reports in the world. Why is that important? Because God had to encourage these people to get their eyes off the problems and get their eyes on the promises. And that's the hour that we live. And we must get our eyes off the problems and get our eyes on the promises. And we're the people who can actually do that. Don't expect someone who's down the road and worshiping cats or something like that can actually do this. We're the people of God. That's what he says. You're my people. I'm your God. Let's go. And so, as I said, it's impossible for God to do nothing. It's impossible for God to say nothing. And so he's speaking to you. He's wanting to speak to you. He will speak to you. He is speaking to you. Just a matter of you and I tuning into that frequency so you and I can actually move forward in all God has called us to do in this hour and let him do it. The biggest problem that people had in that hour is the problem that people got in this hour is the capacity in their life to process change. So all of a sudden they're in bondage and they're in this whole thing, and all of a sudden now we're going to come out of that. Oh, I'm really excited. However, we've got to go through the, you know, cross the Red Sea. How are we going to do that? I don't know. You know, all the problems become greater than the one promise. I'm going to lead you out. And Moses was raised up as a leader. Many of you would understand the story, but if you don't, come with us on the journey there through Exodus 6. And the problems that they faced is parallel to the challenges we face today. We know that there's a thing in the Bible called a type. A type is the understanding that it happened externally in a world that is very, you know, easy, you know, there's dirt and there's pyramids and all of that sort of stuff. There was leaders and real people. That was a type of what in the New Testament is something that can happen in our hearts. The tabernacle was like that. It was something they carried around, that it was a process of entering into the presence of God. Today we don't just have an, you know, no one's setting up their tents and using them like a tabernacle, because the tabernacle is the tabernacle of our heart. It was a type. It was an example so we could fully understand the clarity of what God was actually wanting to do. And so today, can I go back to that point? The challenge they had was the ability to process change. And I think in this hour, you know, things are changing daily, aren't they? You got to do this, you got to do that, don't do this, don't do that. Next week we're going to have to do this. And, you know, if we can look back to last Sunday when we were here, you know, it was a whole bunch of freedom and we didn't know what was going to happen. Now all of a sudden, you know, it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and we're really not sure where we'll be coming to you from next week, but we'll be coming to you from somewhere. So stay tuned for that. Is our inability perhaps to leave our suburbs or leave our homes. So things are changing. It's my ability to process change, not resist change, if you know what I mean. And so it's the same parallel as God wanting you to change, maybe some attitudes or things like that. Sometimes people sitting at home, like Pastor James was talking about, confined and restricted and things like that, all sorts of things start to come up. But those things aren't coming up because you're at home. Those things are coming up because they've always been there. They're just in an opportunity now where they're being compressed and revealed. And that's a good thing for you to know, that those things have been there all the time. That frustration or whatever it is has been there all the time. Now it's time to be able to deal with those things and move on. And so, again, a person's ability, point one, point 10, where we're up to, is the ability to process change in my life is super important in this hour. And that was their struggle, because the idea was that God was trying to bring them out of Egypt, out of their slavery, out of their struggles. They came out and essentially then they built an idol, you know. And so idolatry was one of the things they had to deal with in their life to be able to go where. Now, God's plan wasn't for them just to come out. God's plan for them was to go in, but he had to take them out before he could take them in. It's the same pattern of salvation, that when God brings me and brings you, and maybe you weren't, so to speak, as extreme as I was, but when God brought me out of alcohol, when he brought me out of all those struggles, when he brought me out of drug addiction, when he brought me out of those things, he wasn't trying to take me out of those things as much as he was trying to take me out to take me in. He goes, I got a special job for you to do. I got, this is over here. And many people today have come out of the world, but they haven't gone in to what God talked to them about. And so these people had the same, here's a pattern. They had 40 years of wandering in a desert, not knowing which way was up and not knowing who was going to look after them, who was going to feed them, and so on and so forth. And so that 40 is important, because the 40 is representative to a lot of things. 40 days, Jesus fasted 40 days of Jesus between the time of his resurrection and time of his ascension. 40 was a big thing in the Bible. So these 40 years of wandering around not going into what God has for you. Yet, here's the key, here's the kicker. It was only an 11-day journey from where they came out to go into Canaan land. Only 11 days, took 40 years. Because of why? Point three, because of their attitude. Their attitude. What was the attitude? To process change. So what was the attitude problem was, let's go back and eat leeks and garlic. We all revolved around the flesh, revolved around food. Let's go back, eat leeks and garlic. Maybe it's better off than it is following Moses in the wilderness. I think it's important in this hour to follow a leader. Have the capacity to follow someone's leadership. That's important in this hour. This story, I trust as you study it during the week, will reveal so many things. I trust in your heart and in your life to go, wow, some of those keys are really important. How do I process change? How am I a person that is able to be under leadership, follow leadership? I know people today, you know, our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, please pray for him. As any leader, I don't know anybody that wants that job in this hour, but people are quite critical of his leadership. Now, in hindsight, I think everyone will, you know, everything's right, isn't it, in hindsight? You're always right in hindsight. But looking back, I think we're going to say, look, we should have done this and we could have done that. But right now, then following the leadership of the government, the leadership of the instructions that God is calling you to do are so key to our freedom in this hour, your freedom. Just go, yeah, I'm just going to get free. I'm not going to fight that or argue about that or come up with, I saw some comments the other day on Scott Morrison's site thing, and it, you can do a better job, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. You know, what do you call those keyboard warriors who've not run anything, telling our Prime Minister how to run the country in a global crisis? And you can tell by their opinion, I'm really glad they're not running the country. I don't think they could run anything, some of them, the way they talk, but they sound good on Facebook. They sound good in the comments. And we've got to be people who go way above that to be able to know, I've got to be able to process change in a real way. So they had all this slavery around their life. And when they went out and tried to get out of the world, so to speak, and out, the enemy tried to pull them back. The enemy tried to pull them back, and as I said, they used the flesh to get them back, you know, like, oh, gee, you know, they're just trying to trick you or something like that. No, the God had to follow their leaders. They had a lot of riches, and they decided to melt them down and make a golden calf. I think it's important what you do with this your money in this hour, knowing how to perhaps refresh your budget. Look over that again and say, okay, this is how we're going to spend our money. This is our way forward. And I know that changes from day to day, but again, we're talking about your ability to be flexible when it comes to finance and change in your personal life. They had to be deliberate about their crossover. There was the Red Sea. There was a line they had to cross that once they'd gone through that Red Sea, God parts the waters. There's an incredible miracle. And I believe in this hour when people are looking to just the limitations of their own thinking, that God will be able to do a miracle way beyond that. Look at those people who were struggling in the wilderness. Was it in Kings? I think they were struggling. And God sent ravens to feed them. You know, I think we're going to start to see that the miracle power of God feeding us and helping us is going to be incredible. I don't think that we need to be people who this is the key word, worry about where our food's going to come from. I think we need to be wise and plan and strategize, but worry is a whole different deal. So these people had to be delivered of fear of where they'd come from to be able to cross over and begin to trust God. The other part they had to do is develop a new identity. This is who we are now. We're not the slaves. We're new. These people have been used to being led by fear. Now they had to be led by love. It was a whole different deal. Moses loved them. He cared about them because God had put that in his heart to care about them. Anyway, you know the story there when Moses, you know, kills that guy because of the compassion he had as that guy was beating up one of his fellow countrymen. And so compassion stirred Moses' heart. The compassion that God put in Moses' heart too was incredible. Moses was a great guy. But they had to take on a new identity. And in this hour, you know, it's not time to, you know, get a bit weak and go back to your old ways. It's so easy for people to let the strengths around their life just be ebbed away again and go back to drinking and smoking and go back to swearing or loose sort of talk or loose living or attitudes and things. It's not time. The enemy would try and pull you back, but it's time to go, no, God has delivered me. God has set me free. I've crossed the Red Sea. I've crossed over the other side, and I'm going into all God has for me. This is an hour to do that. Why is this important? Because God is trying to rob the identity of people, but he's also trying to rob generations. The devil is trying to rob generations of their future, and God is trying to establish generational future. So be very aware of what's happening there in your life personally. So the challenges they had idolatry in their hearts. And they had to sort that out, let God sort it out. God had brought them into the wilderness, and they had to let God lead them from there. They struggled with food. God fed them with manna from heaven. It's an amazing concept that we start to work through this. And then it came down to their attitude. It came down, their attitude was where they had their eyes and where they'd always had their eyes and what they needed to do. So let's wrap it up today. Thanks for being part of Freshwater Church. I trust you, this word this morning encourages you. God's picture for your life is to bring you out, to take you in. It always has been. Nothing's changed. However, it may have got more intense in this hour in many areas of your life. But again, here's a pattern. It's a pattern. It's a big picture. What's the biggest thought? It's the big picture. And hopefully all the little detailed things of your life will fit into this picture. That God is trying to bring you out of slavery into a promised land, where you can be able to receive all he has for your life. The other struggle they had was the giants. And they sent out spies to check out the land. And they said, these giants are, you know, they're massive. And we're so small and insignificant. Because they saw themselves as grasshoppers, so they were in the sight of the giants. And I'm amazed when you think about it. If you think about a grasshopper, here's a little pretend grasshopper here. You've got this little grasshopper that is so small. And you've got these people who are so big, like me, just big, human. And yet, if you put the grasshopper down on the ground like that, there it is. You put the grasshopper on the ground like that, they compared themselves to being that big. As humans, they reduced themselves to be that small. And when they were that small, the giants thought, these are a snack. Yet God's saying, no, that's your promised land. So to be able to go into your promised land, the last point we'll mention today, to go into your promised land, there's going to be some giants that you may need to slay. Some attitudes, some mentalities that you may need to slay to go into your promised land and say, God, you brought me out to take me in. And I need to slay some giants, and I've got to get things in perspective, not the perspective they fell into, but the perspective that God wants you to have to be able to go in and enjoy all that is in that place. And the Bible says, come and taste and come and see that God is good. So these are some of the things that, as I say, that God has put on my heart when he woke me up the other morning for you to be able to be inspired and encouraged in this hour. Can I say it again as we wrap up? To be a time when you've got to be more focused on the promises than you ever are on the problems. If not, you'll carry that many question marks around above your head and around your life. Problems that there is solutions to. But what it'll do eventually, it'll start to eat away at your faith. Too many questions will eat away at your faith because it'll produce doubt. And you don't want to go there, especially when you've started out so strong and you're staying in the strength of God. Father, we thank you this morning for every beautiful family, every individual, Father, this morning that they can see and that, Father, you have a plan and a purpose. You've not changed because there's a crisis hit our planet, God, that you are prepared us for crisis and change. You've helped us, Father, with our identities. We know who we are, and when you haven't changed your mind about our life, we thank you, God, for the strength of heaven to focus and have holy attitudes, good attitudes. Even though we might not be around pastoral people, it's sometimes, or even our church folk, bringing a level of accountability that, God, we could never forget we're still accountable to you. Help us, we pray, Father, walk strong and clean and good and wholesome in this hour. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for bringing life and love to our lives again and again. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes it's easy to, straight after a service like this, to be distracted and sort of, oh, we're going for lunch. Oh, we're doing this. Oh, we're doing that. But maybe it's a good time now where you've probably got not a lot of distractions to not jump up and rush off and maybe talk to each other about what was Pastor Stuart saying to you today? What are some of the things that you felt encouraged about today under Moses' leadership, God's leadership, the leadership that Jesus had in your life, the senior pastor of your Freshwater Church leadership? What did you get out of that word today that was for you? What was it about it for you personally? Where are you up to? Have you crossed the Red Sea? You're really wandering in the wilderness in your heart? Or are you really, God, you brought me out and I'm not taking my eyes off the Canaan land, the promised land that you have for me? For us today, our promised land is the return of Christ. Our promised land is heaven. To not take our eyes off the promised land that God has for us. Let your will be done on earth, God, as it is in heaven. Let heaven get around our thinking today. The promises of God get around our thinking today as we can be stirred again to go, God, I'm a person who lets you be the lifter of my head, that my eyes are on heaven, the return of Jesus. Sure, I've got a lot of practical things to do, but God, the biggest focus is heaven around my life today, and I thank you for it, God. Amen, amen, amen. As we've been tracking, there's a whole lot of people who've phoned in and said there's some prayer requests that are put up there, and we're not going to read them out. We're just going to go and take a look at them and just see some of the prayer requests here. Prayer for our Prime Minister, people with back pain challenges, being able to look at citizenships and single parents and all the different needs. House sales and things like that. People have got sore knees and things like that. Health challenges. People thinking of their family from all over the world. Let's reach out our faith this morning to our brothers and sisters. Let's reach out our faith this morning. Father, we thank you for every prayer request, every person mentioned here. This won't be the last time we pray for them, God, but this is the first time we collectively pray. Help us, we pray, Father, let minister to every situation. God, we bring these requests before you today. And we thank you, Father, today that we can trust you with our needs and requests as you told us to bring them to you. Help us, we pray, Father. Help those people line up to what you have for their life in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for them today. Amen.